If you're thirsty for big business ideas and lessons learned from people who have started up or started over, you've come to the right place. We've got shots of inspiration mixed with a few ounces of advice, delivered straight up by movers and shakers in Saskatoon's business community. So pull up a chair. This round's on us. Welcome to Chamber on Tap.
Trina.
T-Bone.
Hello, back here for another Chamber on Tap. Every month we do this. Every month there's a room full of fun people.
That's right, that's right. The first Wednesday of every month, lots of good networking, tons of people here tonight. So really excited. I bet everyone's interested to hear our speaker.
Kimberly Evans, right?
From Joy PR Studio.
Yeah, events person.
She is, but that's only one little piece of what she does. She's going to have a great story for everyone to listen to.
I can't wait.
Me neither.
You want to shed some insight into what led you to PR Studios now?
Yeah.
Joy PR, I should say.
So I had a bit of a life-changing lightning bolt moment, I call it, in 2012. My daughter was 4 at the time, and my other younger daughter was 1. I got the call that my oldest daughter has cystic fibrosis. And it's just not something you can be prepared for. At the time, cystic fibrosis had a really low lifespan. It's not a disease that I would wish upon anybody. And when you see your child suffering, it rocked my world. And being in the stressful profession that I was in and owning a business and just all of the stuff that came with that, I said to myself from the very beginning, prior to even being really too far into my career, that I will do this as long as I am passionate about it. And if a day comes where I lose that passion, I will be out of the event industry in a heartbeat because it's just too stressful to not be passionate about it. And my passion exited my body the moment she was diagnosed. And so it was really hard to accept the fact that there were things that were just so out of my control on it. I wasn't sure what the next steps were. And from one day to the next, she had 3 hours of medical treatments that she needed to do. She had loads of medications that she needed to take. She had tons of doctor's appointments and specialist appointments, but I just didn't know how to keep up with everything else that was on the go. There just wasn't enough hours in a day, and my heart was just torn to shreds over this, and instantly was thinking, wow, I'm going to outlive my child. How are we going to like make the most of whatever years we have? And so I had to make the very difficult decision, kind of it phased out with kind of in a year after her diagnosis, that I had to get out of my business. And this business I thought I was going to die in. I was sure that I was going to be there forever. That was my plan. I was so happy and really loved the direction that everything was going. And yeah, made the decision to leave. Within that year of getting out of my business, sold my house in Saskatoon, moved to Moose Jaw, where we had some family, sold like 80% of our possessions, kids changed schools, just had to do what we needed to do in order to cut our family's income in half, first of all, by me not working anymore. And Moose Jaw is a very different market than Saskatoon, so we could, you know, just life could be different there.
Thank you for sharing that very personal part of your life with us. Obviously, you have pivoted, and I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of struggles that you've gone through that time. How did you make those next steps and find, I guess, that joy in your life that you're talking to all of us about?
It's interesting because I never felt like angry or why me, I guess, in this situation. It just, I don't know how. I believe in a higher power, so I'm sure that was where this mostly came from, but I didn't feel that, and I just knew that no matter what the circumstances were, that if this was my only mission in life, she was going to have the best life possible. And that's what I leaned towards. I knew that it was bigger than me. I knew it was bigger than her, and I was like, we got to make something out of this. It can't just be for naught. There's a reason why you got this very rare disease that not many people have, and what are we going to do about it? For me, I just knew that there was going to be something bigger. And so while we lived in Saskatoon, already within that year after she was diagnosed, Cassidy wanted to have a lemonade stand to raise money for cystic fibrosis. She was five then, at that point, a year later. And we lived in Stonebridge at the time, when Stonebridge was still tumbleweeds. There was no businesses. May is Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Month, and it's always freaking freezing outside in May. And so, like many other months of the year here. So she would sit on our driveway with her little snowsuit on and sell ice cold lemonade to anybody of our friends and family that I would beg and plead to come to our house. So she was so pleased that she was able to like make a little donation to Cystic Fibrosis Canada. And so when we moved to Moose Jaw, where we really only knew a couple of people, we had a few family members that lived there, but no real like connection to anybody there. And so we lived in our house was across the street from the school that they attended in preschool at the time. And so she decided she wanted a lemonade stand again. So I was like, okay, of course, event planner hat on. We are going to do a lemonade stand and it's going to be awesome, even though we don't know anybody. So we printed out these like little things that Lucia, my little one, handed out in her preschool class, and Cassidy handed out in her school to send home so that the kids knew that lemonade stand was going to be coming up on this date. And so the day of the lemonade stand came, and Cassidy came running home from school across the street, and she was so pumped, and we were getting herself organized, and she was carrying out her little cups and supplies of her lemonade outside, and her and I were just finishing up a few things in the house, and we look out the window, and there was like over 100, 150 people on our driveway.
Did you have enough lemonade?
Didn't. But immediately I went into like turbo event planner brain, and
what's
I was like,
my plan
calling
B and
the reinforcements.
C?
Yeah. Yeah, and did, and had wonderful people that came in reinforcements. So we were having the lemonade stand on the Friday night after school was done, and then during the day on Saturday. That was what her and I had decided to do. So seeing what happened on Friday, we like got reinforcements and all of the things that we needed, and some supplies are kind of hard to get in Little Moose Jaw. So we did what we could do. And at the end of Saturday, when we were done that weekend, she had raised over $7,000.
What? That is remarkable.
Yeah, it still floors me to this day that happened. And I remember sitting in my little house, in my little living room, and I felt like, you remember like the DuckTales where Scrooge like dives into his like coin vault? I had Toonies and Loonies, $7,000 worth of them all around me in the living room. And was like, oh, we're on to something here, and I'm not quite sure what this all means, but this seems like this could be bigger. So that happened, and that really was a catalyst into realizing that there are always ways to find joy in things that are really hard. And so Cassidy's Lemonade Stand was born. Follow us on Instagram if you haven't already. She's gotten a little bit of a reputation around Saskatchewan for her freshly squeezed lemonade, and we've been able to use that as a platform for a lot of advocacy for cystic fibrosis, advancement and research, and have been able to help raise loads of money. We're at about $140,000, $150,000 now that we've raised for cystic fibrosis. Just through lemonade and some of the events, and we're able to support the Jim Pattison Children's Hospital Foundation, which is a place that is so near and dear to our hearts, and Make-A-Wish. She had a wish granted. We can discuss meeting the cast of Full House offline.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah. That was kind of where that was born, and it's kind of just continued to evolve from there, and we've been able to kind of use lemonade as a bit of our platform.
Yeah, that is truly remarkable. Are there any really common themes that you come across as you're working with people? You touched on time management. I was listening to your podcasts, or one of them, just over the week, just to kind of get a little bit more.
You're so sick of my voice.
No,
by the end of
this. I just want more. I want to help you to help me create more time to listen to them. But you talked a lot about your definition of guilt and how you think that that's misdefined, and you encourage people to go out and ask for what they need. I was really quite impressed by some of the things that you had to say. So are there any real specifics you wouldn't mind sharing with us, some tactiles here?
Yeah, well, guilt is definitely one that is the common theme for every single person that I meet with. And I only sort of, in the last little while, recently sort of redefined what I find guilt to be. And I'm not trying to exclude any of the wonderful gentlemen in the crowd also, but with my clientele being mostly women, there is just this natural sense where women carry a lot. They carry a lot. They're often, more than not, kind of majority responsible for their households. And the world is evolving and things are shifting, but that was my story. That was for me too. And so I saw myself in a lot of the stories that come to me through my clients. And guilt is something that gets brought up all the time. And there's always a phrase like mom guilt. And usually we're maybe using that when our kids are little and we feel bad that we are like going to work when our kids are at home and they're like, mom, don't leave, or whatever, that type of thing. And to me, I was introduced to the idea that the definition of guilt is when guilt is only doing something that goes not in alignment with your own values and your own morals. So if you are doing something and you're like, ooh, I really shouldn't be doing that or whatever, that, yes, could be defined as guilt because you have your own metrics of what you decide is right and wrong, and doing something against that can make you feel guilty. But guilt is not feeling bad about something when you are in alignment with what you are doing. So I mentioned already, I love going to work. I have always loved going to work, and I have never apologized for it. And I have raised my children to know that I love going to work, and it doesn't change how I feel about them. But that is sort of the wrong definition of guilt. Mom guilt is not, oh, I have to go to work and I'm feeling guilty that I'm not with my kids. That is a feeling, but it's not guilt. It's a different feeling that has a different definition to it, where you're just kind of feeling like you're torn between what you're doing and what you maybe think you should be doing. And so that is often the catalyst that starts most of my client consulting sessions, is I don't have enough time. There's never enough hours in a day. P.S. Every human on earth gets 24 hours. Little tip for you.
It doesn't seem like it. I feel like I only get 12.
Yeah, exactly. Even Beyonce is usually who I use as my staff. Even Taylor Swift only has 24 hours in a day, and look what she's doing. And I don't say that in a sense of feeling guilty for what we're not doing, but we have to manage our time. We get to decide what is included in our life and what does not need to be in our life. And most of the time, we're trying to include too many things, is plain and simple what it is, whether it's family, friends, work, everything in between. We're just saying yes or no to the right or wrong things depending on what we want our life to look like. And for me, I sort of feel like I get to use my event planning background when I'm consulting, and we're sort of like using building blocks to decide, okay, today is a new day. What do you want your life to look like? And I know that sounds very cliche, and we talk about, oh, just live your best life and those kinds of things, which is like, ugh, when you're feeling really chaotic in your life, that's the last thing you need anybody to say to you. But it's true, to be able to actually strip everything away, which is what happened for me when my daughter was diagnosed. And I think the pandemic is a really good example also. I wasn't phased very much during the pandemic. And I am not at all saying that we shouldn't have been phased, because it was difficult. And everybody has their own story coming out of it. And that's not what I'm trying to get at in this. But I had already gone through something harder. It didn't feel as hard for me as what I had already been through. So it didn't affect me as much. And everybody gets their own very fair line as to what they feel about certain things, and there's no judgment as to what's hard for someone and what's not hard for someone else. You get to decide what that is for you. But I feel like that's often the part that becomes the most challenging for people, is that they just aren't pausing long enough to figure out what they need to add in or strip away from their life in order to actually make their life be what it is. And oh, tomorrow we'll do that. Oh, next week we'll make that happen. Oh, once my kids are older. Oh, maybe if I'm not with my spouse anymore. Oh, maybe if this is happening. Oh, once that's happening, then I'll definitely have all of my stuff together. And we all know where that goes. So for me, that's my goal, is I look at somebody's life and their business. They are usually entrepreneurs that I am meeting with, and figuring out, how does your life flow seamlessly together, where you
not that you're working all the time or not that you're not working all the time, but figuring out what do you want your life to look like? And let's make that happen, regardless of what your wildest dreams are for it. Some of them take more time than others. But you really can start today with figuring out where you're spending your time and just being mindful of what things are in your life that you wish weren't and what things are not in your life that you wish were.
Sometimes making those action pieces, like connecting those dots, as you alluded to earlier, is a bit of, that's the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm going to envision my life is going to be like this, but I don't know how to get there. And yeah. I'm potentially putting up my own roadblocks. Mm-hmm. I have a relationship with the word yes. Like, I'm definitely a yes person. And because I feel like I don't want to miss out on opportunities. But then you have to live up to all those things you said yes to. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you stumble on trying to manage your time through those commitments. So I always encourage people to be yes people. Am I giving them the wrong advice? Should I be saying, you do what fills your cup today and don't commit to things?
Yeah, no,
you're
not.
You have it.
Yeah, you're not giving the wrong advice. I think the one thing that I have really switched my thinking of as I've gotten older and as I've done more work and met more people and sort of just seen sort of similar patterns and conversations come across my life is that yes isn't necessarily the positive word and no isn't necessarily the negative word. And I think that that's often where we get kind of hung up, where Shonda Rhimes has a really good book that's, I think it was Say Yes. I can't remember. That's really bad plug for it, but you can Google it. And it talks about sort of how she had a year of like, I think she was like often more like reclusive. And so had a year of saying yes to everything. She made herself for 1 year say yes to everything just to kind of get her out of her shell a little bit. But I think that we think, oh, if we say yes, we're being good. And if we say no, we're being bad, whatever we define that as. And I think to me, the words are equal. Saying yes always also means you've said no somewhere else. Every single time, there is no disputing that. And saying no means you get to say yes somewhere else, just from a time perspective.
That is a huge aha moment for me right now. Anybody else, I've not heard that equilibrium. Anybody else in the room kind of hearing that for the first time? Yep. Yes and no are equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that to me has changed my outlook on life for sure, is recognizing that, because I was and continue to call myself a chronic people pleaser. I'm a recovering people pleaser now. I think we're often so scared that we're going to be an imposition to somebody, or my needs shouldn't matter. It's fine. You know, and I think when you do that long enough, your brain starts believing that what you need doesn't matter. And I know just from evolving as a human from years ago to then having so many other roles and hats in my life, you kind of lose yourself in who you once were, and thinking back to the good old days or the things when you remembered maybe feeling joy and then you're like, oh, I haven't felt like that in a while. I think that's where asking for what you need is so important. And I think, again, when we are all so busy leading such full lives and we're jumping from thing to thing to thing to thing and just trying to get it all done and just crashing to bed at night and getting up early and doing it all over again, we aren't sort of listening to what we need. And our bodies are very clear, but only when you listen. And that can't happen when there's so much noise going on around you. And I've had many times in my life where things, I guess, mentally, emotionally, and physically, where my body's like, nope, we are just shutting down today, and this is not happening. And then I know that's my indicator, and I'm getting better at knowing that before the shutdown happens, so you can kind of like preventatively start taking care of yourself in whatever ways that you need, or saying no, or saying yes to the right things, and knowing what you need, and really just thinking like, no, I actually don't feel like going to that work event. There have been times even we're coming to something as wonderful as this where I'm like, I signed up and I'm like, can't do it. And years ago, had I signed up, I would have pushed through even if I was having the absolute worst day ever. Come do it anyways. You signed up, you committed. There's no way you can back out now. And it's just all of those little things. It's never the big, huge things that are going to cause these shifts. It is every day the little tiny decisions that you are making that make
it possible to get to your big goals. It's the deciding whether or not you can come tonight to this event, or going home and being like, I can't cook dinner. We're just eating cereal. And that's fine. You're a wonderful person. Grab a taco in the bag for your kids on the way out.
I would love to give you a big round of applause for your time. Thank you so much.
This has been a distilled version of Chamber on Tap, a live event hosted monthly by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Check out upcoming dates and speakers at saskatoonchamber.com, or follow the Chamber on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram using the handle @thechamberyxe.
Produced at
Sound Lounge by T-Bone.